Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award winning Niall Boylan Show. Ireland's classic hits.
Parents across the UK and Ireland are being urged to look out for symptoms of the Strep A infection in their children after health officials revealed a rise in cases which has led to the death of many young children. When I say many, by the way, it's 9 in total across the United Kingdom and also in Northern Ireland as well. And the UK Health Secretary Agency issued a rare alert last Friday evening after a rise in the cases across the country, telling parents to seek medical help as soon as possible if they see or detect any signs in their children in order to stop the infection becoming serious. Now, Strep A was on Tuesday being investigated by the HSE as one possible cause of death in a 4-year-old child in the northeast North Dublin region. Meanwhile, it was confirmed that a 5-year-old child in Belfast Primary School last week had reported had a severe case of Strep A that had died. How serious is it? Is it really as serious as, I suppose, we're listening to it on the news over the last few days? And how do you protect your child? And how do you look out for those symptoms? And is this something unusual for this time of the year? Well, let me go to Professor Bill Tormey, who's the Editor-in-Chief of the Irish Journal of Medical Science. Good afternoon to you, Professor Bill.
Hello, Niall. How are you?
Nice to talk to you again. It's been a little while. I think the last time we spoke was probably in the height of COVID-19.
COVID mania, yes.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Okay, now, so, look, we're seeing a lot in the news about Strep A. I even watched last night on VMT a suggestion by one doctor we should go back to social distancing and masks, which I think is now getting a little bit ridiculous. But
OTT is what you could call that.
Okay. But I mean, is this serious? I'm looking back at, you know, records, say, in Great Britain particularly, because obviously they're the ones that are panicking the most, over the last, you know, 10 years. And it does seem that they have had a spike in the first quarter of every year, but not in this quarter. Is it just unusual for this quarter of the year, or are the figures unusually high anyway?
Well, the problem about these figures is that they're not accurate now. Just think about it. How many people attend their GP on a daily basis in the UK? Millions, literally.
Yeah.
And then you look at the number of kids going to GPs here, and you look at the number of kids at home with their parents who are sick, and no tests are done looking for Strep A. And the reason that's come out is that it looks like there's been a number of cases here. There's a number of cases in Northern Ireland. And this is a nasty bug if it gets into your blood. And what it does is it causes a huge cascade of inflammation, and it actually kills you by killing all your organs. So it's not very entertaining, as they would say. So parents would be very worried with their children. And why would they be worried? Because a very small number may run into problems. And because we don't know what the extent of the disease is in the population, things like masking and all that kind of stuff is over the top, unless you're in a school. Mm-hmm. And I think that you can presume things in schools if a whole class gets sick or a number of kids in the same class get sick. And the question then arises, should there be chemoprophylaxis? I.e., because this is a bacteria and, I repeat, not a virus, you can give penicillins once the kids are not allergic to them, you can give other drugs if they are erythromycin, etc.
Okay, so if your kid is in a class and five people in the class got it, it would be no harm for them to take an antibiotic.
It would be a pretty good idea to take an antibiotic. That's the way I put it. And I think the HSE should probably announce that as a policy.
Well, I know Stephen Donnelly did mention something earlier on today in relation to that, that they may be making antibiotics available to children who have been exposed to it.
Yeah. Okay. I think it's very important to reassure the teachers as well, because, you know, the teachers are in this class, and two older people also
died.
Succumb to this Strep A. So this is, as well as children, it's also the elderly. So you don't want this in nursing homes and places like that either. So prophylaxis, if anybody gets anything in any of these elderly places, I think everybody should be treated with an antibiotic to contain the thing at its source.
I did hear Kingston Mills last night mention the word vaccinations. And in relation to this, are we at that point yet? And I wasn't aware, by the way, a vaccination works for bacterial infection, but however.
It does, yes. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, diphtheria and all these other things, DPT, you know, they're all bacteria.
Oh, okay.
So you got them all yourself, Niall.
Probably.
You didn't realise, yeah, when you were a kid.
Yeah.
But the point about it is you'd want a very accurate vaccination, because it looks like the strep A that's causing all of this is a subtype of strep A. It's not a general one, because if it was a general one, this would happen every year with deaths and everything else, and it doesn't. So the laboratories will tell people what the situation is. With the new technology developing vaccines at a breakneck pace, as you could see with the COVID problems, particularly the mRNA vaccine, they may be able to get somebody to do a vaccine up very, very quickly.
But yeah, but the problem was the COVID vaccine wasn't as successful as we thought it was going to be. I mean, there was, you know, when it came out first, it was like the Holy Grail. It was like, this is going to stop it. And it didn't.
The English one had various problems.
Yeah.
Okay, the thrombosis and all that. But the mRNA one didn't really. You know, it's been...
No. The point I'm making is it didn't seem to slow down the transmission as much as they expected it to, because there were professors at the time when the vaccine came out for COVID saying, this is it, this is going to 100% stop it, and it didn't.
Nobody ever gets 100% of anything, as you know. Mm. Any biological system doesn't work on 100%. It works on probability, likelihood, and all the rest of it. And I think that it worked in 80-something percent of people, more or less. There were some people who didn't react to it, it's not fair to call these people immune problems, because they're living very well. It's just that they have a different immune system from their next door neighbour. You know,
the other question is: a lot of the UK newspapers yesterday and the day before were talking this headline in relation to lockdowns. And they said, and I'm just reading, and even the Irish Times themselves referred to it, but then removed the line. They said children's immune systems were more prone to infections following COVID lockdowns, according to our doctor warns. Same headline. Is that the case that children's immune system?
Every child develops their own immune system as they go between 1 and 5, and it's earlier if they're in creches. And how it works is that they get ambient viruses nearly always from their cohort, and they develop their own immune reaction and their own antibodies to whatever it is that they're exposed to. So that if you're a GP, you're likely to see every kid that you have having somewhere between around 5 infections, upper respiratory infections a year, and it tails off by about the age of 4 or 5, and it's earlier if they're put into creches and places like that.
Okay, so did children, during lockdowns, the question I'm asking you is, did children miss out on building up some of that immune system? Has that been delayed because of, they weren't exposed?
I think that's a reasonable inference.
Yeah.
You'd want to do a big experiment to prove that, but it's a very, very reasonable inference. Because I'll tell you why I think it is, Niall. Because if you know the number of cases of flu in the middle of the COVID disappeared with the masking, there were hardly any flu cases year.
And when I'm looking at an article here, Dr. Susan Hopkins, who's Chief Medical Advisor at the UK Health Security Agency, said the agency is exploring whether decreased immunity was a factor in the unusual amount of cases, but that was too soon to draw any conclusions yet.
She's right. Okay. She's right. But, you know, you can draw all the fancy conclusions you like and get yourself in the front page of the paper, but it's really not a good idea, and there's no point in panicking parents.
Well, now, this is what I wanted to get to. I don't believe we should be sensationalising it either.
No, I agree with you, 100%.
In relation to what parents can look out for, I'm assuming it's similar to streptococcal throat, where they would have a bad...
It's very, very similar, yeah.
Okay.
It's very similar. So, and the other thing about that is that rashes, there's a photograph on BBC One News last night of a child with a strep A rash. And the strep A rash is nearly identical to a whole lot of other rashes, because the skin can only do a certain number of tricks. And if you have a dotty pink rash, it could be. But there again, it might not, because there's hundreds of viruses that cause the same sort of a rash.
And so the rash they're describing is, they say, scarlet fever, which is...
Yeah, that's slightly different, yeah. But this is the... They showed a child's thorax here, the main part of their body, and on the telly last night on BBC News. And then the guy I'm reading the news said that it was, John Humphreys, it was available on the BBC website. Now, I didn't look at it, and I don't know if it wasn't on the RTE website, I can say that, but they said it was on the BBC News website, the photographs of these things, and also what might be a problem and when to bring your kid to a GP, but anybody who has a child with a very high temperature and the child's obviously sick, into the GP, no messing about, and get some antibiotics. That's what I think.
Okay, so should we treat things differently now, Bill, to the way we did, say, 6 months ago? So if your child 6 months ago has got a sore throat, you just kept them home from school?
I think it's the best thing to do is to treat these things seriously. In other words, assume it's a problem. Because giving them penicillin, if they're not allergic to it, etc., is a hell of a lot better than missing the thing and running into all sorts of problems. And look at that poor four-year-old, in case that was the cause of that child's death. I don't know at this stage.
I mean, do we have many deaths in Ireland on a yearly basis from similar viruses like strep A? I don't even know how many.
Or
bacterial infection, infection.
Yeah, we do. We've loads of these things. And I know this from one of my friends who's involved in intensive care and runs an intensive care unit in the Peds game, was telling me about the RSV virus. And RSV comes back once a year, and it's got a huge number of subgroups. And that's around once a year, and it gets into young kids. And I used to shrug that off, and I thought, I've seen loads of kids with that, but I shrugged it off as not being serious. And the next thing this pal of mine tells me, hey, hold on there, pal. There's three or four or five or six of these in the intensive care. There are more patients than there are individual nurses. It was that much of a crowd, and that was 6 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in other words, the medicine's a fudge. There is no perfect medical system anywhere in the world now. Anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, and so for the moment, you're saying, don't panic. It's one of those things. It's cyclical.
Yeah, and if you're particularly worried, check the BBC website.
Yeah.
Okay, and look at the symptoms. If your child has a high temperature, don't mess about. Bring the child down to the local GP. And if you're if you can't get access to the local GP and you're up the north and you can't get access to a GP, bring the child to a paediatric A&E ASAP. That's my opinion on this one.
And an antibiotic. And you're not ruling out the idea that Stephen Donnelly has mentioned this morning, that if your child is in a class where five or six kids all got it, in other words, it's obviously spreading in the class, the sore throat basically, which would be the main symptom of
it. Take an antibiotic anyway. Yeah, take an antibiotic and ask Stephen, would he mask up some of these kids if over the winter? Okay.
All right.
Because I don't think Stephen Donnelly is doing a bad job. That's my own opinion. Right. I know I'm biased because I have a book out at the moment on the whole subject. But the guy is trying.
Me and you might have a debate about that sometime in the future.
Yeah, we will. I want to pass one comment, if I could, Niall. There's a lady, a minister called Anne Rabbit, who's involved in
that. That's right. I've spoken to Anne many times.
Yeah, I never met her and I've never spoken to her. But I have said that she is an A1 person. I'll tell you why. She turned around with all the, you remember the AONs, the assessments of autism and all the rest of it. She turned around and said it was her responsibility and she's going to bust a gut to discharge that responsibility. I didn't hear somebody say that for a long time. She didn't come out with any BS. She just went for it. And I have a piece on her in the book. Okay. And I'll tell you this.
What's the name of the book, by the way? Is it good Christmas reading?
It's very quick. It's Turbulence in Health and Social Care Ireland. Turbulence in Health and Social Care Ireland. And for all your listeners, it's on Amazon.
Okay. All right, sounds good. I might pick it up myself.
It's only out since last Friday, I think. Okay.
All right. Okay, well, thank you very much indeed.
Delightful to talk to you as ever. Okay.
Thank you very much indeed. There you go. Bye. Professor Bill Tormey, Editor-in-Chief of the Irish Journal of Medical Science. I'm basically saying, don't panic. Let's not sensationalise it. If your child, similar to what you always would have done most likely, has a sore throat or has any of the symptoms that you can read about, all the symptoms online, or indeed this identifying rash the BBC put up, which is very similar, I suppose, to scarlet fever in some way, you will notice the rash on the thorax, which is the chest part here, okay? And they have a high temperature. Go to the GP, get an antibiotic. That's what you would have done before anyway, most likely. Get an antibiotic. And antibiotic will clear it up. Because it is obviously a bacterial infection. It's not a viral infection. So get an antibiotic and it should clear it up.
Real people. Real opinions. Real Talk Radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show.